in town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk.
That's right. Podcast for the people, by the people.
You guys are just sounding so professional.
I'm going to start off with this episode is brought to you today by Midland Radio.
Radio. All right.
Okay. Keep going.
MidlandUSA.com. Uh-huh. What is Midland Radio?
Yeah, please do tell us. What is this thing that we see?
So if you're in the ag or... Well, especially ag, but farming, ranching space, you've probably seen the name Midland. They do a really good job of getting their name out there and working closely with agriculture. We've got a number of their products. We've got it in the ATV. We've got a base station. We've got it in the trucks, all the different things, permanently mounted units. Bunch of folks I know have them in the tractors, you know, have them back at the shop, have repeater antennas on the grain bins. I mean, all kinds of things. They're very, very reliable. They go a really long way. So super, super neat units to have on the farm. But we have been working with them for a couple of years now, helping with some photography, some videography.
Yeah. You even got the drone out.
Yep. Doing some product reviews, things like that. And they have come to the podcast and come to Farm Focused. So if you go to their website, MidlandUSA.com, use the code FARMFOCUSED, all one word, F-O-C-U-S-E-D. You get 15% off of anything there. I was looking at the website. It's MidlandUSA.com. And just scrolling down real quick, there's a ton of things for just everyday folks as well. Like, this isn't something that you have to have a farm or a ranch or an ATV or something to use. We actually have this at our house, their emergency weather radio. It's a pretty cool unit.
Okay.
$70 on the website. It's battery powered, but it has a hand crank. So if the battery dies, you can just sit there and crank it, and, and you've got power. So it's got a flashlight on it. It's got weather radio. And then the walkie-talkies. There's a bunch of different versions of walkie-talkies there, depending on how much distance you want and clarity and things like that. But we use those things all the time.
Oh, no doubt. We always use them when we're up in Canada fishing, so we can communicate from boat to boat.
Yep.
And you know how we had Garrett on last week, the professional hunter?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give a pro tip here for everyone that's out there using radios, whether it's hunting or fishing. Buy the – we – like last time that I bought Midland radios a couple years ago when we got started working with these guys, I bought the Blaze Orange ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you set them down or you set them over here, set them over there, then you can find them.
Oh.
You buy the camouflage ones because they're cool looking and this and that.
Cool, yeah.
You lose them because they work, you know. So that's my pro tip. Buy the bright blue or bright green, bright orange, whatever. So when you put it down or it gets lost, it's easy to find.
We didn't take your pro tip. We have like all black ones. And then when we get together with friends, they have black ones.
Yeah,
and we're
yeah.
like, wait, whose is whose? But some of his buddies mark them. They have different, I don't know, dots or whatever. But
so I guess that's always been like a, like people that do hardcore camping, you know, like 7 months out of the year and stuff like that. They've always done that, I guess. They buy bright colors for all their equipment, no matter what. And that's why. So when you set it down, you'll find it or you can spot it, right?
Okay.
So I always kind of knew of that, but I still, I'm like, well, we're hunting by the camo, right? By the camo covered. It all came crashing to a like halt, like, no, we need to start heeding that advice when I lost my brand new Christmas present a couple of years ago. It was a really nice viewfinder that Ashley got for me.
Okay.
Had all these bells and whistles on it. It was a Bushnell, I think, was the brand. But it was total, the whole casing was camouflaged, like the new whatever, Realtree X4 or whatever it is. And I lost it. And we spent an afternoon just driving around those hillsides that you were on with all the grasshoppers.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
We lucked out and found it.
You did?
Almost almost drove over it, but like we spent – yeah. And it's still like every time I look, I'm like, I can't believe we have this thing because it was just lost.
Now you need to like tape it.
Right.
Like bright orange or something tape.
Something. Yeah, no doubt.
So. Yeah. Pretty cool. Pretty cool units. The walkie-talkies that we have, they're all rechargeable too. So they've got the rechargeable batteries, and they've got like those stations that you set them in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always nice. You're not digging around for batteries. And then I just noticed on the website too, they've got all kinds of accessories for these things. So if you break a clip, if you want some kind of cover, if you want a holster, they've got ear pieces that you can plug into them. You can get all like tactical, like you're a security guard and shove one of those little clear things in your ear, all kinds of stuff. So anyway,
my uncle and his best buddy, they had, this was when that stuff was still kind of new and we were still in high school. They introduced us to paintballing, like real paintball.
Oh gosh.
And they had like ghillie suits and all this other stuff. And they also had those radios, Midland radios. And I think they had it set to like voice activation. They had the expensive setup. They just slaughtered us. Like, they're like, here's your paintball guns, guys. It'll just be us two versus all you guys.
Cause they were talking, saying everybody was.
Yeah. They're like special ops in us. It was crazy.
That's funny. like even in, I've gone through a number of different fire training classes and the number one thing that I come out of with every single one of them is comms, communications.
Yeah.
Like that is the biggest issue with being effective.
Right.
Or screwing up or, you know, not being able to meet the time we're shooting for, whatever the case may be. And with things like that too. I mean, if you're, like you said, like if you're in battle, I mean, it applies to anything.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to be out in the field working, whatever it is that you're doing, if you can have effective communications.
Do you guys not have, like, you can't talk?
It's very, that's a whole nother story. It's very hard in fire equipment, but, you know, and we're a volunteer department.
Okay, but some places have like head pieces.
I mean, I would imagine like,
you guys
I mean, I haven't been to them, but like, you know, the Chicago Fire Department probably has
the nicest Midland radios out there.
Everything's built into their helmets.
Sure.
I mean, they've got face masks out there that are like infrared. They'll put like a screen on your mask as you're going through the fires and shit like that. I mean, we don't have anything like that.
We got a radio in our pocket
that we're hollering through the breathing device.
That you're trying to scream through the mask and you're pointing and stuff. Yeah.
The point is that, communication is key, and you can get that with Midland.
Well, maybe Midland can set up the Murray Fire Department.
I don't know. I'm not sure how all the radio thing works with the county and city and the cost and all that, but I'll ask them.
Yeah, see? Hey, what's going on?
It's worth a try.
Yes, sir. So MidlandUSA.com, code FARMFOCUSED, one word, get 15% off. Check them out.
Check them out.
Okay, so I just keep my back has been killing me all week. Is your lower back still killing you?
I got new boots for Christmas. My dad got me some, and these are more comfortable than my old ones, so I think they're starting to help my back.
Really?
Oh.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think my old ones are just so worn out.
Okay, I thought it was because you were wearing your new, and I remember I told you, I said, don't wear your new and old. Like, quit switching. Just commit.
Really? That's why most of the time, like,
that's normally what he does.
I just do what I want to do and don't listen to what you tell me.
But I said just
you're a free
commit.
Man.
I'm a
listen.
Free man.
Shut the fuck up. I told you just wear your new boots. Did you not heed and take my warning? Yeah, you're just now wearing them for 2 days. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Morgan. How about a thank you,
right.
Morgan?
Yeah,
I think you're spinning that. Spinning that one,
Andy.
She's trying to put you in the middle of it.
I know. Like, you guys do this to me a lot. I'm like,
It's true. You were wearing them back and forth, and I'm like, well, no wonder your back hurts.
That makes sense. Like, it really does.
He's a one-shoe guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Like, one boot.
I can't
boot.
Keep track of
so
my one
So when he was wearing
shoe,
both,
so.
I'm like, why are you wearing both? Throw those suckers away. Yeah. You got new ones. Anyways, mine's more my shoulder. Do you have any aches and pains that you want to talk about?
Sure.
Today?
Yeah. No, for real. Like, I very rarely get sick or sore or anything. That's more of Ashley's game, right?
Okay. You know? Oh, okay.
but I woke up with like this serious pain on my right side. It went from my neck all the way down to my waist, to my arm, and I'm still not getting over it. It's been about a month now, and I still just can't shake this. I mean, it's painful.
I have a good chiropractor.
I might need that because I can't even sleep on my right side. It's killing me. Like my right arm, there's a pain in it right now.
I mean,
I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to do like, you know.
Yoga.
Not yoga, but stretching. You know, and those free hang, you know, where you just hang, you know, on a bar. I'm up to over a minute. I can do that comfortably. And, you know, and supposed to help. Like
stretches it out.
Mm-hmm. So you watched a YouTube video on how to...
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't believe this 3-minute YouTube video didn't fix me.
I mean, but, we're complaining and we're 43. What? I mean, what's going to happen when we're 80?
Maybe the drugs will be a little bit better then, and I just won't feel anything.
So. Yeah, I don't know.
Or the whiskey.
Yeah, I'm not on any whiskeys right now, so.
Okay.
Could try that. I think we got some in the secret compartment.
Oh, yeah. Let's just bust that out.
So we were talking a little bit before the podcast, chatting about a couple of topics, and it seems like there's a couple, like some strange things going on in Nebraska right now. There is. Like we talked about a couple of different topics.
Yeah. Huge, huge. I don't want to call it a conspiracy, but it's struck Nebraska again, and that is Handshake Gate. Handshake Gate.
But why do they call it Handshake Gate?
Well, you know, like Spy Gate. All those gates. It's always a gate. When there's a conspiracy or something gets, you know, news gets broken here or there, you know, breaking news, there's a gate to it.
Right.
Okay.
What's the one that all started that in D.C. with the Nixon administration?
That was
Pizzagate?
Oh God!
No,
sorry.
Watergate.
Watergate. Yeah. Now everything else is a gate. Yeah.
Why do they put gate on the end of it? What does that do?
That's what I just said. It's a gate closes and opens, but why didn't we say door?
But it is Watergate, and then since then everything else has been every conspiracy or you know breaking news that has a twist to it is a gate. So, but a Handshake Gate starts with the Nebraska football captains not shaking the hands of the captains for the Iowa football team in a rivalry game Thanksgiving, day after Thanksgiving, Friday. And, you know, we're Nebraska, so, like, Nebraska nice is a thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just you're supposed to shake hands. Just shake. You have the respect, have all that stuff, and shake their hands regardless of what's going on. And then Handshake Gate just struck Nebraska again. While the senators were being sworn in, Deb Fisher's husband, Bruce, would not shake the hand of Kamala Harris, the vice president.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny. She has to go through all these things, like the responsibilities of vice president, you know, after she just lost the race. It's kind of brutal. Right, yeah. It's kind of brutal for her. But yeah, old Bruce Fisher, she went to shake his hand and he just said, thank you, and then looked away.
Okay, but let me ask you this with the football team. Did Iowa actually stick out their hand to shake and our boys did not reciprocate?
Our captains looked down and just kind of stared at their hand. A couple of them were shaking their head, saying, nah. And I guess it's not the first time that Nebraska's captains have done that, where they went out and didn't shake the opposing team's hand during the coin flip. Now, for that one, there was a lot of stuff leading up to it. For starters, Iowa likes to call this a big rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And they do little things to try and get under the skin of Nebraska. And
like what?
Well, most importantly, they win.
Exactly.
They've been beating Nebraska a lot over the years since Nebraska has joined the Big Ten. So kudos to Iowa for, you know, more times than not beating Nebraska. So that's, something that would get under your skin just on the surface. The most important thing, not winning the game. And then there's been other stories of Iowa doing this, Iowa doing that. But like, play above it, and who cares? That's my attitude.
Right.
If you want to kick and scream and do all this stuff to be noticed, I think that shows your true colors, you know, more so. But on this particular one, this game was in Iowa City. Our head coach likes to do a lap around the field, you know, in his gym shorts and hoodie before every game, before he gets his suit and tie on and that type of stuff. And He's going around, and he accidentally, I guess, went through one of their stretching drills, and the team got all Iowa's football.
Like walked through them?
Yeah.
Well, that's not accident.
They felt disrespected and this and that. And, like, I watched the video. I'm like, I didn't look like it disrupted anything. I don't even think he knew he was cutting through.
Drill. It wasn't like a tight circle.
No,
it was just like everyone spread out.
Yeah. So like that was to me a lot about nothing once again. And then the Nebraska football team likes to say a prayer at the 50-yard line before every game, before they get into their pads, before they get into the calisthenics and pregame stretching. And Iowa actually had police officers. I think it was a state patrol. guarding the 50-yard line saying, you're not stepping on our logo. That's a big thing now in football. Don't stand on our logo. Don't disrespect our logo. Once again, shut up. And you're actually going to get law enforcement involved?
Yeah.
You know, I just way big overreach here. And I know I'm from Nebraska and I'm a diehard Nebraska fan, but get out of here with that.
Yeah.
Get out of here and, with that.
And if it's if that's a true, like, sworn peace officer, so that's like it's a, the guy's actual job is a police officer, but he's there, you know, on security detail or whatever. Mm-hmm. Shame on that dude for even enforcing that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He mm-hmm. should have looked at the coach or
whoever
and said, come on, guys.
Yeah, you know, I got bigger things to worry about than your...
Of course,
your,
it probably is his paycheck, though. So.
It probably it is. There's a big story over... This was years ago where, like, the Florida police around Tallahassee, Florida State, like, their boys were getting in a lot of trouble in the 90s, mm-hmm. like Nebraska's boys. And a lot of stuff was getting swept under the rug or pushed off to the side. And, you know, an investigative reporter got into it, like... Like, these are some bad things, and everyone else is getting DUIs and this and that, and, you know. Mm-hmm. Why do these guys consistently keep getting off with a no, not even a slap on the wrist, you know? Well, the university basically covers all of our overtime for our officers and then more, you know. So, like, the Saturdays are divvied up to where they get to work that, you know, do a home football mm-hmm. game, security or whatever. And that's how it is on a lot of
bigger things at play there.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, back to this handshake.
Let me interject real quick, because there's probably people hollering at the radio right now. So the whole gate thing,
mm-hmm.
and once you hear this, you'll probably remember. So Watergate is where it originated. It was the Watergate Hotel.
Oh,
that was the name of the hotel.
Yeah.
So they called it Watergate. And then the media just took that gate and started adding it to everything after the fact.
Of course.
It is catchy.
That's according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary.com website. So it's
sweet.
That's what actually happened.
All right. That makes sense.
So back to your regular scheduled programming.
And the Watergate Hotel was set up in such a way where it's like a U shape.
Uh huh.
So that. You could actually look across and see all the, you know, apartments or hotel rooms across from you. And I guess that's what allegedly blew it for the guys in the Forrest Gump, right? Mm-hmm. Forrest Gump called him in?
Yeah.
According to the movie.
All right, back to your football thing.
So anyway, the Nebraska football team said enough's enough. When they come out and want to shake our hands, you know, and also there's some sarcasm to it, you know, we're just not going to shake their hand. And then, of course, Iowa turned that into, as soon as the game was over, their captains and seniors and everybody else was saying, came back to bite you, didn't you? Couldn't shake our hands, now look at you, we'll beat you again. And you know what? You did.
Right.
You know,
and
congratulations.
They should shake hands.
They should. Nebraska should have shook hands. I am in 100% agreement with that.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Rule... Even Nebraska's coach even said, I was unaware of that. I'm not proud of that. I wish they would have. But I will say they were frustrated for the reasons I just told you, the whole pregame mm-hmm. stuff and this and that. And it this logo at the 50-yard line, and you see it on it, I just don't get it and I don't care. If someone's going to go out there and actually spend time and energy to stomp on your logo, you are living in their head rent-free. Mm-hmm. Like, you already have that over them. Just let them kick that logo. Let them dig their feet into it as much as they want. That is not going to decide what happens on the field. And I wish these weak-minded, both sides of this, I can't believe coaching staffs allow this to happen. I can't believe players spend time and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. In the 90s is when this boiled over, and then it became a thing. In my mind, this is when it started. When Terrell Owens, a hotshot receiver for the 49ers, mm-hmm. ran after scoring a touchdown to the 50-yard line and planted the football on the Dallas Cowboys star.
Oh.
And then a defensive player for the Cowboys came running out and just leveled him. I'm like, okay, that's fun theater. That's pros. And that's what I try to tell to all these kids that I'm coaching or, you know, younger folks. Do that shit when you're a pro, okay? But for now, let's have a level of respect and let's focus on the game.
Yeah.
But as soon as you are a 1,000-yard receiver and you've scored 15 touchdowns in the NFL, then you can disrespect the 50. That's when you can put time and effort into doing something as stupid as that. Because you're there. You're a pro. And you're a grown man and you can think for yourself. But for right now, let's just try and get the 22 dive right. Let's just try and get our blocking assignments right, you know?
We've talked about this before, and I've expressed my thoughts on all of those kinds of behaviors in sports, and I'm completely against it beginning to end.
What do you mean?
Like just any of the just
showboating,
jacking around, shit-talking, you know, whatever. Like, I mean, I can see a little bit of some of it here and there, you know, to celebrate something that you did that was extraordinary or something like
that. You should celebrate and have fun with your teammates.
But if you had to agree.
My point is if you've accomplished something that you're expected to accomplish anyway, like scoring a touchdown, because that's your job, because you're the guy that scores the touchdowns.
Yeah.
Don't act all crazy.
Right.
Like just
act like you've been there before.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, just take
it
your touchdown.
Is your job.
Yeah, take your touchdown and move on.
But if you had to agree on one, don't you think it is better? Like Andy was saying, it's better to do it when you're in NFL than high school, college.
I mean,
because you're like developing
I don't
men.
Think kids should do that. Yeah. Sure, but the thing is, and the way that I look at it, and one of the reasons why I don't like it so much is because of the influence it has on the even younger kids that are watching.
I got you. Yeah.
Because then they all just start acting like showboat and gangsters.
Yeah.
Like in real life. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, that's why I say that. It's like, go ahead and worry about showboating when you get to that level.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to get through middle school football, high school football, collegiate football. Then you can start worrying about spiking the ball and John in someone's face.
Mm-hmm.
But until you get to that point, let's just try to score more touchdowns.
But you're saying the youth are watching NFL and then learning it. So
they're watching college ball too.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like I kind of see that
where
behavior on an even playing field.
For me, the biggest behavior on that side of it, and it shocks me. It still does because I broadcast a lot of basketball games and football games. The way that players actually stand up to the officials and start yelling at them. Like after a call, I just called a basketball game this past Saturday. Two really good teams, really fun game to be a part of. But the way that these players, after getting whistled for a foul, and then they turn and argue with the official blows my mind.
Why isn't the coach jumping in to tell him to shut up?
A lot of these coaches are young coaches and they'll yell at the refs too. I'm like, this is crazy. This is crazy to me. I think I'm starting with the parents. It all starts and ends with the parents to me.
Yeah.
Cause even this one team that, you know, and it's happened a number of times where I'm getting ready to do the player of the game and the coach interview post game, who won, and the opposing team's walking behind us and just saying terrible things to the player. This is a 16 year old girl and you're a parent and you're yelling something like that at her?
The parents are yelling
at
her? Yeah. Oh, I thought you were...
blows my mind.
Oh, my gosh.
So when I hear that, I'm like, well, no wonder your kids are terrible out on the court. No wonder they don't respect the officials, the call. Me being the son of a football and basketball official and just going to games when I was really little and being in the crowd, listening to the crowd yell at my dad. I'm like, my dad didn't mean that. You know what I mean? He's not against you. Like, So I know and I realize that I have a different perspective on it, but when we were in high school, it was like taboo. Like, do not argue with the official.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Do not do it. Like,
or only the captain maybe could.
Right, and I just feel like technical fouls would just fly at you. Like the things that players stomp the ball and slam the ball in the court and this and that, and actually, you know, throw a fit. I'm like, tee him up. But you'd have like five or six technicals.
But don't you think the refs should do that?
And I do.
Why aren't they?
I don't think there's support from coaches. I don't think there's support from parents.
Okay.
I mean, and if parents are as bad as I was describing there, you got to be very careful.
And also the whole reffing thing, like they're limited. Like there's not very many of them.
Right.
And a lot of those guys are just out there like, yeah, I've got a job to do. I'm just going to do this job and mm-hmm. we're going to move on.
Yeah.
And there isn't anybody else that's going to do it.
You're exactly right.
So they're just getting by. They're doing their thing. They're making the necessary calls and then they're just moving on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And that whole thing that you're talking about with like, with the kids disrespecting the officials and, you know, and the parents and so on and so forth. There are so many, like I always say, you know, sport, the most important part about sports is that we're teaching life lessons because mm-hmm. you're not going to be a pro athlete. I mean, it's going to be.
I have a 2% chance.
Right. Yeah. 2% of 2% of 2% or whatever it is.
Yeah. It comes out to about that. Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of life lessons to be learned. So, you know, things like ranks, you know, you are just a player. You don't go directly to the referee. You mm-hmm. go to your coach or you go to your captain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the captain goes to the coach or the captain goes to the ref or the coach goes to the ref. Like, that's how that works. That's how it works in real life.
Know your role.
Yeah, that's how you need to do it. And then also just respect. I mean,
yeah.
and learning how to deal with people. Mm-hmm. So what do you think's going to happen when you think you're some hotshot out on the court and you're hollering at the ref every other call?
Oh, you think he might call you again?
Yeah, do you think all of a sudden the ref's going to be like, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to make less calls on this guy?
Yeah.
No, right. The ref is exactly. a human being.
Yep.
He's going to stick to the rules.
Yeah.
But he's going to start leaning towards.
You've put a target on your back.
Yeah. I mean,
by doing that.
What the heck, man? Like, what are these kids thinking?
Even, like, just imagine the level of maturity there. And it's why the great players get the calls. Like a Jerry Rice will say. Never fought with the officials, one of the leading all-time receivers in NFL history. Even when he would know that he got called for a push-off or something like that, and he didn't feel that he pushed off enough to warrant a flag, he would go to the official and be like, man, you got me. That was a good call. That was probably a good call.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who got away with the next five push-offs?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yeah, use your head a little bit.
And not only that, that makes me think, too, the whole replay thing, which I hate.
We've talked about.
Neutered referees.
Yeah.
I mean, because.
You're seeing in Lifetime where they're not even making calls. They're like, ball on the 10-yard line, first down, we'll see on replay.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Right.
They won't even make a call.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, man. But the NBA is the worst, where the pros, like you're talking about, every call, they throw a fit, they get in the official's face, all these things. And I do think, you know, younger minds are watching and taking that in. And, I mean, who do you act like? You act like your hero.
Right? Our kid plays a lot of basketball. It's his, you know, favorite game. And we'll be at games. We've played other teams that the players on the other teams will taunt the crowd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like after they score or whatever. Or
yeah.
You know, like everyone. I guess I still don't understand this about basketball. Like if you're going up for a shot and you get fouled and you make it, like it's a big freaking deal.
Yeah, and one.
Like everyone just freaks out, you
know? Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying I don't understand why everyone freaks out about that. But either way.
I love your laid back. Aren't you supposed to make baskets?
Yeah, and also like what? Okay, so he made it, and he's gonna get one more shot. So he just made a 3-pointer.
Yeah,
but we're freaking out. Like,
He's
probably not gonna make the free throw anyway.
They're 12-year-olds, Benjamin.
But whatever. Anyway, so they'll do something like that, you know, and then they'll look at the crowd and like throw their hands up or beat their chest or point at them or like, or if a kid makes a 3-pointer, he'll look at the crowd and throw the three up or whatever, you know.
There's a healthy level of taunting in high school basketball for sure. And you're more talking middle school basketball, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Now I do like when, let's say a kid hits a three, and it's in front of his student section. I love those dudes that turn the student section, gets them all riled up.
Yeah. Sure.
That's fun. But that's enjoying that moment with your people.
Right.
And not the opposite crowd.
Because it is hard work. It's a lot of hard work to play, let's say, Class A, Class B basketball and make that three well defended. So, yes, celebrate it, enjoy it, but don't taunt. There's a way to do it.
Right.
You know? So, and I do like those wild guys that get kind of crazy and get the crowd into it. But yeah, there's a line there.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm talking about the egregious stuff where we're actually yelling at officials, where we're staring down fans.
Yeah.
You know, but it is a two-way street. And I hate to put it all on the kids.
So back to the handshake. They should have
They should
shook
have.
Hands.
I wish Nebraska would have
sure
just played
I sure wish they would have won.
Yeah. First and foremost, I wish Nebraska would have won.
Kind of had that one.
And then, obviously, I wish they would have just played above it and shook hands.
Yeah.
You know, act like nothing happened. You know, take the high road. But, you know, talking about looking up to your, you know, your elders, your superiors, whatever, your leaders, handshake gate struck again, struck the Cornhusker State.
But do you think that Deb Fisher's husband should have shook Kamala's hand also?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Without
I do
question.
Too, but it was a funny video.
So it struck again in the Senate being sworn in and Kamala having to do that's one of the vice president's duties, and she was shaking everyone's hands. And Bruce Fisher, husband of Deb Fisher, our senator, who got reelected. And now the story goes for the defenders, he had his hand on his walker. He couldn't take his hand off his walker, you know.
Oh.
Okay. So he couldn't – he somehow got there. He got from Valentine, Nebraska to D.C., you know, without ever taking his hand off his walker, I guess. I don't know. So once again, I'm just like, shut up. Be nice.
Yeah,
well, like, what does it cost?
Yeah.
Show a love. I don't care if you agree with her, disagree with her, you hate her, you think she's a scum, you think Biden's scum, whatever. They are – she is your vice president. She is swearing your wife – your wife into the Senate, shake her hand.
Yeah.
Shake her hand.
Do they have anything directly to be mad at her about? Like, did Kamala, like...
She did a bad job, right? She did, and all those lies she told on the campaign trail.
Yeah, but I mean, did she ever, like, directly talk about Deb Fisher or anything?
I doubt it.
Not near as much as Nebraskans do.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
That was so that you can take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
You know? So, I'm just like, I get it that you're frustrated and this and that. And I'm in the minority. I'm kind of shocked on this, where a lot of the chatter online, and not only in Nebraska, but nationally, is like, oh, Bruce, way to go, Bruce. Like, we're applauding Bruce for not shaking her hand. And I'm just I'm a little embarrassed by that, you know?
I hear you. And that's a weird thing in politics that I feel like has happened, or maybe we just notice it more now that we're older. Like, they all just constantly trash each other and talk shit about each other.
Yeah.
And then when they're in situations where they are actually together face to face, they're expected to be cordial and
like
and shake
fake
hands
nice.
And yeah. So for me, like, I'm torn on that, because I'm like, you guys are all a bunch of assholes to each other when you're not looking at each other.
Sure.
But then when you are with each other, you act like everything's great.
Yeah.
So, and I don't like that either.
So you feel like Bruce was being his authentic self, and that's more respectable?
I think that ultimately it shouldn't be like that in the first place.
Okay. But it is.
Right, it is, yeah. But I think that Kamala shouldn't be acting the way that she does. I think that Trump shouldn't be acting the way that he does. All of them, like towards the other side. Because I always think it's funny.
You don't think Gulf of America sounds good?
Yeah, no, I do.
I don't know what that is.
Trump being loud.
You hear these people, like, especially when they're like running against each other, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just trashing each other. I mean, they're digging up dirt, they're trashing, this is the worst person on the planet, you know, blah blah blah. And then once the election's over and one of them wins, then the other one is like, wants to be a part of their cabinet now supports them, or like in the presidential race, and this happens in other ones as well, you know, you might have six or eight people, you know, on say on the Republican side, and they're all just bashing each other.
Right.
One of them prevails, becomes the nominee, and then all of the rest of them then go and start supporting that one like they're his best friend.
Yeah.
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 It's like, you people are so full of shit.
And that's nothing new.
No, I know it's not, but I'm just saying what I'm getting at is, when you said, do I think Deb Fisher's husband was justified in what he's doing, what I'm going back to is saying, I don't think it should be like that in the first place. I don't think all these things that I just explained should be happening that way. I think that all of those people, so if we go back to the presidential example, all eight of those people that didn't get nominated, if they talked mad shit about Trump when they were going through all that and like really digging up and like just trashing the guy, then they should carry that on afterwards. They shouldn't go and start supporting him. They should be like...
But they got a job to go for.
Exactly. All they're worried about is number one.
Yeah.
And that's what brings all this to light. Like, tell the truth.
Yeah.
That's what you thought before. So don't tell me now you think something else.
Well, when someone throws money at you.
So back to her husband. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that's what he's thought all along, mm-hmm. and he just stuck with what his thoughts were, okay. then I could support that.
See, and I see it like what we're talking about, like NBA players throwing a fit at officials. So that's who I'm looking up to. And then I see all the chatter online like, oh, look at so-and-so getting in the ref's face. He's not taking it, you know. Mm-hmm. That's I feel like the online community is doing the same thing on behalf of Bruce. I even saw one person call Bruce her spirit animal.
Oh my God, that's a stretch.
She hates Kamala so much. She's like, Bruce is my new spirit animal. Like, what are we doing? So like when you see people applauding, I call it, you know, poor behavior like that. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much you disagree or how much she talked crap about Deb Fisher. That's another thing. I don't think Kamala even knows who Deb Fisher is.
I'm sure not.
Well, she probably does. Don't get me wrong. I don't think she's as dumb as people make her out to be. But like, she didn't have time to care about Deb Fisher's plans for this or that or securing extra land in western Nebraska for her cattle to be on. Like, Kamala doesn't mm-hmm. care on that right mm-hmm. now. Like, that was down the list of things to be concerned about.
I think there's definitely parallels. You know, when you talk about the sports thing compared to the political thing, but I guess where I ultimately see it is, you know, decisions that Kamala, if that's who we're talking about, makes directly affect and have directly affected our lives in very personal ways. Mm-hmm. So if you feel a certain way about how that person is behaving and making decisions on your behalf, then feel that way and own it. Where like a basketball player, when they're acting like a jackass, the effect that they're having on our lives is that they might be influencing our kid, and we have to have a conversation with our kid and say, mm-hmm. look, that's bad behavior. Don't act like that.
But I feel like that was bad behavior on the political front, mm-hmm. where this is kind of uncomfortable, but lying is just a part of everyday life. Like mm-hmm. people lie all the time. You need to learn how to decipher that and figure that out and deal with it. And I maybe this isn't lying, but when you're put in that spot, you have to play the game. You have to basically put up a happy face front and show the respect to your adversary, because being a kid and pouting and not shaking hands, not playing nice, that to me shows, once again, they're in your head living rent-free. Mm-hmm. You can't even deal with a Democrat in such a manner where you can't even shake her hand. And what did she, like, personally, what did she ever do to you? Mm-hmm. In fact, she created all these problems, or her cabinet that she was part of, or her, you know, Biden, and they created these problems so much so to where there was this huge red wave, and now you guys are in total control. So if anything, thank her. Shake both of her hands, you know? Like, what are we doing? Like, it's just a part of what being a grown-up is all about. You, like, I'm sure you don't agree with all the parents on your son's basketball teams, mm-hmm. but do you disrespect them in front of people? Do you, you know, go out of your way on a national stage to go like to show we're just as terrible to them as they are to us? You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like you're put in this spot. You have to handle your business better than others.
I agree.
You can't be a troll online and be a senator's husband.
So let's put this into like real life. What would you do if you saw somebody from back in the day that you hated? Would you go shake their hand?
Like, I had to shake all their asshole hands. I mean, you know, I played on a team where we lost a lot of games in high school, and they were dicks to us throughout until our senior year. We had our first winning season for like over 20 years. And then guess what? That's when it came back around, when I got to shake their hands with a big smile on my face, you know? So like it, but we had to go through that in my freshman year all the way on up through our senior year and shake hands, even though we knew that they didn't respect us, they didn't respect our program, they didn't like us, all those things. I just feel like it's a huge part of growing up and developing character and understanding that you don't have to like somebody or even agree with them. Or even be assholes to them. Mm-hmm. But when you're put in that time where you got to play nice, you got to have respect, you need to have respect. You should have respect for other people, even if they don't disagree with you. How boring would it be if we all just agreed with everything?
But that's a game situation. I'm talking about like real life. Let's say I'm at the grocery store and I see someone that was an asshole. to me in high school, and they're like, ah, hi. So then I need to be like, ah, hi.
No, you don't have to do that.
Well, but you should be nice.
Yeah, you're nice, right?
So, right? You're nice. But I think my point is,
Andy's saying is,
like, how do you decipher when you don't really like somebody in town and you see them or they approach you? You should be fake nice. But then
that's
some,
that part of lying,
right?
Like, where that's,
but then some people are like, no, you shouldn't be. Like,
don't be fake.
For me, where I see it is, like, with what you're saying, is basically, you know, take the higher road.
Mm-hmm. Right? No matter what.
Like, just.
Yep. You don't have to worry about it then.
Yep. Just take the higher road, move on. Mm-hmm. And I think there's definitely something to that. But I also think that people who do that all the time eventually get taken advantage of.
Sure.
So you have to decide, like, am I okay with, you know, getting taken advantage of here and there?
That's developing character.
Yeah. And the other side of it, I think the way that I see it is be nice until essentially it's no longer time to be nice.
There you go.
So
figuring it out?
Yeah. So eventually someone's going to push it too far. Mm-hmm. And then that's when you got to, you do have to figure out when to draw lines.
You know, and 9 times out of 10, those type of things take care of themselves, like what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Someone that you don't like sees you at the grocery store and puts on that big old fake front, or maybe she's being real, like she's just aloof to it all, that you don't like her. After the 7th or 8th time of her meeting you and picking up your vibe that you're not into it, she's going to stop doing that. Like, once again, this has turned into a whole lot of nothing about nothing. Because those relationships work themselves out.
Yeah. The other side of it.
But that's a professional. Both of those cases, this handshake gate in Nebraska right now with the senators, the vice president, and the teams, those are like out of body type deals where you're on a pedestal.
Yes,
all the cameras are on
that.
You. That's like the bare minimum. Like, you got to play ball in this spot. You got to show a level of professionalism. And that's where I'm disappointed. That, I don't want to make it sound like I think everyone should be a pushover and we all need to be pussies nice to each other. No, but especially when the cameras, the lights are on, put up, shut up, do your damn job, do the bare minimum that's expected of you, and that's shake hands. In this case,
I'm torn on those topics. I mean, because I feel like I would rather see them.
You want to be the bad boys? You want to be Miami of 85 or something?
No, I mean, I would rather say
you would want people to handshake.
What I'm saying is, I would rather see those people be honest. Like, I'm thinking more about the politicians.
Okay, because you're Mr.
Because
Sports
I feel
guy
like
want.
The politicians are just always hiding shit. Mm-hmm. So just be honest. Like, act the way that you want to actually act so I can understand who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
in sports, it's different?
Well,
I don't know. I think
it is a little bit, but...
Well, of course.
I mean, I just take... I take the politics more seriously than I take the sports, which I think most people would. Like, sports is entertainment. You know?
On the politics side, I feel like it's important to at least show respect for the other side.
Mm-hmm.
How can we have bipartisan or anything passed or anything good come of it if we can't even shake each other's hands at a moment like that when we're being sworn in to the Senate?
The other thing that I was going to say, and I agree with you, on the personal side, like where Morgan brought up, you know, you and I have talked about that before. If... Like holding that grudge and not just saying, hey, you know, hey, what's going on? Shaking their hand, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Holding that grudge, whatever, it really, the only person that it's hurting is your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gets you fired up inside. It brings those feelings of anger, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to if you could just say,
let's take it to the next level, okay? And this is a fun little parallel with the sports thing that we already said. Or Jerry Rice would actually agree with the official and be like, I think he got me on that hold. You know, that was probably a good call. What if when Bruce Fisher sees Kamala, like, hey, Kamala, good race, man. Trump really beat the heck out of you. Like, he was being mean. He didn't do anything, you know. But instead, he makes it a big thing and it turns into a national story. I'm looking at an article on the New York Times where he didn't shake her hand. Okay, let's say Deb wants to push something through and it comes down to a vote and Kamala's the deciding vote. You embarrassed me nationally when I swore your wife in. Do you think he helped secure Deb's vote? Do you think that?
Right.
Or it comes down to one of Kamala's friends?
Yeah.
How did you help the Republican Party at all by being a dick.
Very true.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay? So, yeah, like, see that parallel there?
Mm-hmm. Right. And like you said, you have to play the game.
Bare minimum. Yeah, play the game. The bare
minimum. We talk about this a lot at home.
Good God.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's, and that's me going a few too many layers deep, but there's a reality to it.
Yeah. There is, yeah. I just was trying to make it like more personal and more real life for people. Like, if you know, how do you expect, and I guess my head went to too, sometimes like I'll see Joel, right? He's 14. Walk up to his buddies and just say hi. And then I see other guys, and it might be a little bit older thing. They're like, hey, man. And they'll like high five.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember asking him, like, why don't you high five your friends or like shake hands? He's like, we don't do that. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's just an age thing.
Is it? Because it's too cool. I've also seen older kids come up to him and do that. Why can't you be like, hey, bro?
I think
like
the younger kids are just more uncomfortable with it.
Is that it?
Yeah. I think they haven't like found their way yet.
We don't
yet.
Do that.
You got to feel it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't have the confidence that the older kids have.
See, and it was somebody that left our school district, anyways, went to a bigger school and came back, and Joel ran into him and he was just like, hey, and high-fived him. And I said something to him afterwards, and I'm like, well, this kid did that. Why don't you do that with your friends? He's like, we don't do that. I'm like,
definitely doesn't want mom asking him about it either.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I noticed something that I see sometimes guys, like, not every time you guys see each other, you shake hands or high five, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you
there's
don't do
a greeting
that.
To it. Yeah,
but, like, I don't know, is there somebody that you can think in your world that every time you see, you're like, man, hey, and you give
I love those guys, right? Those high energy guys that they want to slap hands. And
so
do
is that a person that's just, that's not a across the board dude thing? It's a high energy. It's a high energy guy.
Yeah.
Especially
as adults.
Learning.
Definitely high energy guys would do that. But yeah, I mean, there's some people that just like to do it. I mean, for me, like, ever since COVID hit, I don't want to shake anybody's hand.
Oh my God. Shut the hell up. You're such
a
liar.
That's why you wear a mask to the grocery store.
You're such a liar.
And that's why I put my glove on when I fill up my gas.
Actually, when I think about it, my brother-in-law, Kinsey's husband,
you know,
he high fives a lot.
I like that. I appreciate that. That's
but
fun.
That's not you.
That's not me. Not all the time.
But why?
I would say that out of like our company, the broadcasting, like I'm the high energy guy, and that's another like badge I like to wear.
Okay.
And that was kind of developed naturally in that I just wanted to make the best broadcast ever. You know, I always put myself in the grandma or grandpa that's watching their grandkids play. You know, they want somebody that's in tune that's making it fun.
Yeah.
You know. So I always felt that I owed that to him, and it just kind of carried over into my persona, you know.
Right. I just wondered, like, girls are more like, hey, and we'll give a hug.
Yeah.
But guys, a lot of guys do the high five or, like, do the shake or, like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And just do, like, a nod. I'm like, what is going on here?
See, I think that's lame. There's a tough guy, football player that I played with that greeted everybody like that, you know, real low energy, you know, and he was just too cool for school. And
yeah,
like
come on, have
sucks.
Some like smile,
yeah,
like, some
yeah
energy.
That I agree. I agree with that. So no, and I also, in a weird way, I kind of wear another badge of honor of that Nebraska Nice moniker, right?
Yeah,
I like it that it's a national brand type of thing that has developed over, you know, years and years and years. And that's all getting chipped away by, you know, our football team, which is probably the most recognizable thing in the state. It is, you know, whether you want to admit it or not.
We traveled, you know, all around the country when I had my corporate job.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere we went, everyone asked us if we were Husker fans.
Of course.
Everywhere.
In every state we went to.
Yeah.
Oh, you a Husker fan? Like, that's what they know us for.
Yep. Yeah, so wear it, right?
Yeah.
And I love wearing the Nebraska Nice thing, too. And that's getting eroded away from the top down, with our senator's husband acting like a jack wagon on national television, and then our team captains not even shake. I called it, I host a sports show, stooping to their level. You know, you let them get to you. And of course, it's been a long time coming, and I agree with all that, and they could have handled themselves a little bit better, but I can't spend time and energy worrying about how Iowa you know, the, how mm-hmm. their football team acts. All I can control, and this is what you're getting at, is how I feel and how what I can control. Mm-hmm.
And I do yep. believe in karma. So
yeah, that too.
To Iowa's point after yep. the game,
hey, we,
karma's yeah. a bitch.
There you go.
So yeah. you Came put back. That out. Like, you know what I mean? Not yeah. saying that's why we lost, but sure didn't help.
It did not help at all.
All right. Well, Andy's bringing Nebraska Nice back.
I am.
You're always nice.
One handshake at a time.
wait. I think you guys should like do like a little high a five. Dab.
We don't have the cameras up today.
I know, so but let's just matter. See what would you do if you guys saw each other and you're like, hi, you know, you're the high energy. What are you going
to
do?
To
high five him, low or high?
To avoid all the awkwardness with that, I'll usually just jump out and put my fist out so you bump it, just a fist mm-hmm. bump.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it turns into a like hand, hug, yeah. you know. So just to like squash all that, I've just come out and just do the fist bump.
I would click our boots together like.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
There you go.
Your new boots.
Yeah. New boot goofing.
I can't wait till this happens. I would love to see that. Next yeah. time you guys. Meet. Yeah,
the farm show or something next one. Like it'd be fun if some people had heard this one and they're like sitting around and I come up to the booth and we like.
Click.
You guys just do like a. Oh,
and then geez. Some guy from Iowa comes up and he puts his foot. I'm like, no, yeah.
not clicking
those boots.
Get him out of here.
Oh gosh. Well, right. This was fun.
Well, we went a bunch of different directions on that one, so yeah. Not sure what the title's going to be, but you'll find out when you listen.
There we go.
All right.
Well,
peace.
We'll close it out.
Later.
See you.